Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the dog walk of free speech, because I'm walking my dogs and speaking freely, and you can too. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions for sending badly needed fundage. Okay, today is our Friday show. It's a special show, a very special show. Today we have on with us former Louisiana Representative Dr. David Duke. Dr. Duke, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm glad to be here, and thank you for using my title. Everybody that serves an office in this country, wherever you might live or wherever you're out there who live, if somebody's a judge, they always call him a judge even after he retires or after he leaves office. They do the same thing to senators and congressmen. Mm-hmm. Yep. They do the same thing to presidents.
No, but they don't do it to you.
No, they don't do it to me. And that, maybe that's part of the subject of the broadcast.
Well, it is the subject of the broadcast. And so today, this week, actually, it's been kind of a David Duke themed week, because I started the week on Monday on this show playing interviews with you and ABC News correspondents in London, the second of whom was Peter Jennings. The first one I didn't recognize, but the Peter Jennings one was particularly interesting. And then on your show, Monday and Tuesday, I believe, or maybe Tuesday and Wednesday, we talked about Tucker Carlson's shows where he's been saying, well, he's been pointing out massive black crime against whites and saying, where are the adults? Why do no political leaders speak out about this? And we were talking about this, and of course the thing is, you go back to that Peter Jennings interview from 1976, unless it was 75, but the YouTube video said it was 76. And you were saying the same things that you've been saying today. You were saying it very articulately. You were only 25 or 26, but you were very mature, very articulate. You were saying these same things. Of course, you wound up running for governor of Louisiana. Was that 1991? And
that was I was running for senator in 90 and then the governor in 91. That's correct.
Okay.
And I became the Republican nominee effectively in both of those races. Ended up being, it hit the first race. In the U.S. Senate race, the Republican candidate endorsed by the party, when they found out I was going to be in the runoff with Bennett Johnston, a very liberal Democrat, once conservative Democrat, when they found that out, they got him to drop out of the race. They bribed him with something, I'm sure, and he dropped out of the race. And so all the people that voted absentee, because the election day is in the first day of hunting season, all those Republicans which had voted for the Republican, but they were certainly voted for me against Bennett Johnston, all their votes basically were thrown away. But that's how they do.
It's a dirty trick. Not everybody might have understood the technicality there, but there was a dirty trick.
If you're a candidate and you're in the ballot and you drop out of the race, what happens is if there's absentee voting, they can't change the ballot in time, and so therefore those votes are really lost.
Those votes don't count.
So I got about 45% of the vote, which means a 2.5 switch percent of vote. And I certainly could have got that easily.
Yeah.
At least a 10% push, if not more, from the Republicans that would have voted for me if they could.
I think the takeaway here is that you were not a fringe political figure in Louisiana. You were a very serious political figure. You came very close 30 years ago, a little more than 30 years ago. You came very close to winning a U.S. Senate race. And also, the next year, you came very close to winning the governor's election. And you just described one dirty trick by which you were deprived. You know, they used this against you. And also, I know that in one or the other or both of those races, there was massive amount of money from outside Louisiana. You could call that outside election interference. That's how they describe the $40,000 worth of supposedly Russian paid for Facebook ads, which stole the election for Donald Trump. So outside interference.
Right.
But there was massive outside money in this Louisiana election, massive pressure campaigns through, you know, full-page advertisements in newspapers, basically threatening economic warfare on Louisiana,
yeah,
were you
to
win. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, they were threatening to destroy the economy. They were proud of that. They got the Jewish doctors who were head of the American Medical Association. He said he was going to cancel a convention of 150,000 doctors to the Superdome and other venues in New Orleans and would wreck the economy. They had plants along the Mississippi saying to their workers that, yeah, you might like David Duke, but if he gets elected, we're moving the plant. You're going to lose your job. You're not going to be able to feed your family. They even ran this campaign. I got approximately 99%, literally. They polled them of the cab company, United Cab Company, which was an all-white cab company in New Orleans at the time. They've always been very white. Maybe they had a few blacks. And they polled them, and I was getting 99% of the vote or 98% of the vote. After the blackmail, only about 80% of those cab drivers voted for me. They were really hardcore because they literally thought it was surprising that many voted for me, because they were told basically straight out by every outlet there was that if they voted for me and I won, that they wouldn't be able to feed their family because they get their money primarily from the tourist trade and from the conventions. And Louisiana would be blackballed and they would be run out of business. And the same thing happened to restaurants, small businesses. I mean, it was a major campaign. Now, there were dirty tricks against a lot of people. I think the deal was that I was giving a message to the people, much like Donald Trump, but way before Donald Trump. And I think more people even favored the message then, and the demographics were better in terms of voting in America back then. That's a long time ago now, 1990. My God, that's over, 22 years. There's been a lot of change. And so they certainly did a lot of dirty tricks against Donald Trump too, obviously, on a massive scale. They pulled everything they could to try to defeat him in the first race. And I was also outspent. It was Jewish money. In fact, it was the Committee Against Racism, and it was this Jewish organization that organized people to come in and give money. You can give whatever amount you wanted, and they literally did that in Louisiana. And I was outspent. It was kind of amazing, but at least 100-1 for advertising of any sort, whether it be billboards, television, commercials, anything. It was really quite amazing. They were pulling out all stops. I mean, they had some Jewish organizations saying that David Duke's running for the U.S. Senate, and Hitler, you know, this would be Hitler entering the chancellery. But wow.
So I want to get back to Tucker and his question. You know, where are the politicians who would stand up? And of course, there you were. You were standing up 30 years ago. Tucker obviously knows it. You're a household name, especially among news people, and he's been around for a long time. There was not too long ago, CNN did a little montage of you and Tucker and Donald Trump, and what they were trying to say is, look. At the things that Donald Trump is saying today and Tucker Carlson is saying today, you know who they sound like? They sound like David Duke. And they would play clips of you from 30 years ago from your campaign speeches. Right. And then they would play Tucker and they would play Donald Trump. And so obviously Tucker's is aware of you. Here's a question. So you mentioned that this was Jewish money that was coming in opposition to you.
Yeah. And by the way, talk about being aware of me. I mean, you got to think of it this way, that I mean, there's not many people, actually. There's only a few very people, in fact, in the intersection of government today, really, that have been on Meet the Press 3 times. And I was. I was on Meet the Press. I've been on the Today Show a number of times. I've been on the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. I've been on Good Morning America. I've been interviewed by Barbara Walters. I was speaking out. And I was just saying the essential thing that Tucker says, except the interesting thing is that I was – And similar things that Donald Trump said, but I was actually a heck of a lot more polite.
You were,
and I was a lot more. I framed my words, you know, that were in a way that would not make people upset, but I was telling the real truth. I talked about forced integration, the disaster that was. That Donald Trump never really did that, of course, I talked about the interest in getting America in these foreign wars. It was a race for Senate, and I was very America first in all my positions, and so I was strong on those issues. I was very, very strong on making sure our trade policies protected American working people. I was very, very strong on, at that time, one of the biggest issues was affirmative action. And I pointed out that this was massive racial discrimination against white people. I found out that Trump actually said that once or twice. I mean, that was one of the themes of mine. Most people didn't even know it. I didn't even know he actually said anything directly about it. One of his rallies he apparently did, and I finally found a tape of that. But I also talked about the danger of immigration. And just 14 years earlier, almost 15 years earlier, I actually organized a border patrol at the Mexican-American border, saying that this was going to destroy the fabric of America. And if we didn't slow down the legal immigration, the illegal immigration, that we were going to be outnumbered and outvoted in our own country. So I talked about all these things that Tucker's talked about. He talks about it, I guess, fairly nicely, but he certainly doesn't talk about it as directly as I did. But at the same time, I didn't use any racial epithets.
And I'm glad you mentioned that you spoke politely. This is part of the reason I played those interviews from 1976. Now, in 1976, in these two interviews, you were being interviewed by ABC News. They were interviewing you
Peter Jennings
was the more important, the longer of the two interviews, and he was interviewing you as the head of a Klan group. So you were the head of a Klan group, and I know there's this misunderstanding out there because I've listened to RBN shows or other shows, but RBN shows, hearing callers, hearing other hosts who seem to be under the impression, because very few people, honestly, have been following this for 50 years, and so they might know that you were involved 50 years ago, but they don't really remember it in real time, and I certainly don't. And they're under the impression that you were, in your younger days, you were the head of the KKK, and you're some wild firebrand, but you've mellowed since then. And that's not at all the case. When you look at this interview, where you are being interviewed as the leader of a national Klan organization, and you're extremely polite, I don't know if I want to say soft-spoken, but you're not talking over anybody. You know, you're answering politely. You're answering without rough edges. I mean, you actually, for a 25-year-old or 26-year-old, you were remarkably mature. I mean, I'm saying this in all seriousness, and you're winning.
Yeah, I aged fast at those times. I'm trying to age as slow as I can nowadays.
No, but you're winning over to a very large extent, begrudgingly, but you're winning over your interviewers, and even Peter Jennings, he quoted Barbara Walters, speaking nicely of you, even though I'm sure you didn't necessarily win her over.
I think she called me charming or something like that.
Yeah, and Candace Bergen and all these other people. And you know, you were not just invited on shows, but you were invited back on shows. So it's a misunderstanding that somehow you were like some sort of crazy, wild firebrand, racist, cross burner, and then you changed your ways. You left the Klan, but it wasn't because you were changing your ways. It's because you decided that the Klan wasn't the best vehicle for you.
The Klan was actually a generic organization. I mean, it had a tremendous role in bringing the Union back together. In fact, the great film, Birth of a Nation, the Thomas Dixon film that was watched in the White House, actually, believe it or not, actually celebrated the Klan as something that brought the South and the North back together, united America again. And everybody considered what the Klan was working for in those days, just about everybody. I'm not saying that there were no people that had a different opinion, but most people believed that the South was mistreated in the wake of the war between the states, that most Southerners, anybody that had any participation whatsoever in the war, without any due process, without going to court, going to trial or anything, and of course the North said the South never left the Union, so they should have had the same rights as Americans or whatever they did. They literally forbid there, or they stopped them from having the right to vote, talk about election interference. And blacks who were 99% illiterate with no experience of voting at all became the voting population. There was just incredible corruption. There was huge crime, rape, murder, assault. And the Klan rose up to try to protect the rights, the heritage, to keep America, or keep the southern part of America, at least, maybe America in toto, if this would happen, becoming like another Uganda or another Rwanda. That's where we were headed. We were headed for like the war in Kenya. It was a terrible thing. And there were a lot of people, corrupt people, that were making money on it. Some of those people, even though shockingly to say this historically, but some of those actually were Jews, even back in those days, Jews. In fact, General Grant issued his first general orders, number 1, 2, and 3. All this brings all these things to mind. I try to keep my memory going at this age. And those prohibited Jews from traversing the railways and the highways that the North controlled during the Civil War because of their exploitation of the poor people and the newly freed slaves, and the financial exploitation of them. And then, of course, you had the carpetbaggers and the scalawags who basically they raised the tax. They controlled the county seats. They controlled the voting in many states. Louisiana had mostly a black legislature, believe it or not. And so all these hundreds of years of intelligent representative government, that went by the wayside. If you looked at the even still photographs, it's amazing to look at them. You know, people eating fried chicken at their seats. We wouldn't even dare think about that when I served in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. But it was crazy. And the corruption was just amazing what they were doing. But so the Klan rose up as a group of people to try to stop these terrible assaults and this crime wave, because this was not being stopped by the Republicans. By the way, in the South back then, the Republicans were like the woke party, right? Republicans in those days, the Republican Party.
And radical Republicans in particular.
It wasn't Lincoln. I mean, I think Lincoln has a lot of fault for getting into the war. I don't know where we're going all these things, but I hope you find them interesting, the audience will. But understand some of these.
Senator Thaddeus Stevens would have been a radical Republican. It was a well-known faction of the Republican Party.
Well, that's another point of history that people don't know. Abraham Lincoln actually said, and he made public statements, that he said specifically he was going to treat the Southerners like they'd never been away. And when he was assassinated, Thaddeus Stevens and these radical Republicans, some of them were actually Marxists, believe it or not. Believe it or not, Marx was even read by Lincoln, but I wouldn't say Lincoln was a Marx.
I believe they even corresponded. Marx was he was prominent enough, and he was a correspondent for the New York Herald Tribune, New York Tribune, which became the Herald.
But to just show things so that, you know, history, the only way people learn about Lincoln today is by what they see in the movies. Like, for instance, the biggest film on Lincoln and the most popular, in fact, schools show it to their kids, to the students, to teach them about Lincoln. And it's a film by Steven Spielberg, right? And it's a disgusting film. And Lincoln is really woke. He's really leftist, right? And the fact is that even the Emancipation Proclamation, to give you a good example how the war wasn't necessarily fought just on slavery, maybe some of the expansion of slavery. And if I'd have been a Southerner or a Northerner, I would oppose the expansion of slavery in the Americas as well, just to show you my feelings. But it would be, but in fact, when the war was going on, they didn't declare war against three Union states that didn't become part of the Confederacy, who had slaves. Mm-hmm. And when Lincoln did the Emancipation Proclamation, it didn't free slaves in the Union states.
I come back to this century, though.
Well, I know. I wanted to come back to this century.
It's all very interesting.
It's interesting from the point.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth and a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Back to the century, though.
Well, I wanted to come back to the century.
It's all very interesting.
It's interesting from the point. But I'm just trying to give people understanding that what was called the Black Reconstruction. And so the Klan was a popular organization in the South. It was an organization in the 1930s and 40s that were, right. I mean, the two senators from Colorado were both Klansmen, believe it or not.
That is the century, actually, I wanted to go to when I said this century, because I just want to make a point that there was the Klan was big in the wake of the Civil War during Reconstruction. And then it also had a second heyday. I don't know exactly when.
1920s and 30s.
Like teens, the 20s, the 30s. And you know, the thing is, if you're talking about the 1930s, mm-hmm. from the perspective of when you took over this Klan organization in the early to mid 1970s, That was only, you know, less than 40 years later. And
it was
so
one of many groups, too. It became the biggest, but it was an independent group, and the Klan had kind of whittled down to very little.
Right.
So I didn't have to compete with any groups that were violent or anything like that.
You know, the point I want to make is the Klan in the 20s and the 30s was very, very large. It wasn't relegated to the South. Indiana, I read, Indiana had 300,000 Klan members. 300,000. That is a big hunk of the adult male population. And the Klan was very well represented at Democratic conventions. They were a big force at Democratic conventions.
I think the Klan had far more members in the North than they did in the South, actually.
They weren't limited to the... Yeah, I mean, the Southern states were effectively one-party states, but in a place like Indiana, you would have two parties, and you had Klan-affiliated politicians from the Republican Party, too. So, you know, it's not... But the point I wanted to make is when you took over, when you decided to use the Klan as a vehicle for your political ideas in the early 1970s, in the context of where you were from, mm-hmm. there would have been tons of people my age, your age, you know, 60s and 70s, who would have been former members, who would have been they were old enough that, you know, that it wasn't that long ago in the 1930s when the Klan was big mainstream. And I say mainstream, it was mainstream. So
especially a Klan that was really speaking nonviolently and decently and was saying the things that no other political people would really hardly say openly in the 1970s. You're discussing the immigration issue that was a threat to us, discussing, you know, the international wars that we were getting into, discussing all of these aspects of the control of the media and what Hollywood was doing to America, the control of the three major television networks, the Jewish networks. And so people, when somebody came along and said the basic principles of it, like preserving the heritage of the European American people, preserving the rights and traditions of our people, preserving our educational system from forced integration and busing, which were destroying it, freeing our people from massive discrimination, which was going into effect very much in the late 60s and early 70s, and a person who was articulate at the same time, that brought a lot of people. And we had 100 chapters at universities. We had mm-hmm. 10,000 people in just the space of a couple years of activism. And a lot of these were good people, really good people. I mean, in fact, we had an oath where they swore to not commit an illegal act. But our uniform, basically, we had our Klan ritual like any organization does. You know, I mean, the Shriners, you know, they put on their little hat and run around. But we also, we had our meetings in suits and ties, not in Klan robes. And so it was something that was very different. In fact, I ran my first race for office was in 1974. And that was against a 20-year strong, popular conservative named Mr. Osterberger. And he was a German. I don't think he was a Jew or anything, but he's very conservative. But he didn't have any real opposition. I ran because I didn't think he was talking about the issues I thought we should be talking about, like what was happening to our schools, what was happening to our rights, what was happening with immigration, all of these things, which I saw coming like a freight train heading right down our throats in Louisiana and in our country. And believe it or not, I was actually the national director of the KKK then. I ran for office. I had much less money spent than he did. And I actually got 34% of the vote. 34%, which is not too bad for a first rate when you're 24 years old, too. And right. You didn't have any of the establishment for you at all. And I was in the KKK, which a lot of people still had the impressions of the Klan that were dutifully given to the people because they use the Klan and whatever violence that people did under that name as a way to propel the justice of the civil rights movement and the evil of white people that didn't want our schools to be destroyed and didn't want our people to be discriminated against in jobs and scholarships and promotions and didn't want our people to be victims of black criminality. And the black criminality was very bad then. And people think it's bad now. It was really, really bad in the late 60s and 70s. It was even higher than it is today. And yet this was going on. In fact, that's when Biden and his other mm-hmm. people were proposing longer mm-hmm. sentences for these black criminals. Mm-hmm. So I brought forth these issues, and it was very popular, and people were very happy that someone had the
All right.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's X-T-E-N-D-O-V-I-T-E.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with this is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
So I brought forth these issues, and it was very popular, and people were very happy that someone had the
guts. All right. And you know, we have some young people in recent times. We have a very interesting young person today who's able to put together national conferences and to show up. And but who's, you know, about the same age as you were when you had these interviews with Peter Jennings and whatnot. But I'm trying to put this in perspective, and I want to tie it back to Tucker. But so, as in your 20s, in the 1970s, you were becoming a household name already by virtue of interviews on major network programs with these, you know, major people who were very well known at a time when there was only three channels and there was no internet. Okay,
they did a poll, by the way, that showed I was better known. My name was better known than any senator or congressman except for, save for three in the United States.
Okay. So you had become
nationwide.
A household. I knew your name without knowing anything about you, but I knew your name. I'm not sure exactly when I started knowing your name, but without knowing anything about you. And then, of course, you know, by the time you got to be about 40, early 40s, 41, 42, you were running for Senate. I guess 40, 41, you were running for Senate and governor and came very, very close to winning. Okay, so I want to get back to Tucker because he's asking, you know, where are the adults? Why won't anybody talk about these things? And yet, you had been talking about these things, and he's got to be aware of it. He's constantly being compared to you by his own enemies, and so in a way, he's kind of answering his own question. People, other people won't talk about the issues. because of having seen your experience. Who is and Tucker himself, he won't invite you on, even though really until the mid-20-teens, you were still from time to time getting invited on these major cable shows and whatnot. So he's got to know. Hasn't he answered his own question? I have one last thing. I don't remember specifically from the Peter Jennings interviews, but in these interviews in the early 1970s, when you became more or less a household name, to what extent were you talking about Jewish power?
Quite a bit. I mean, it wasn't as much as I do today because I was in politics and voting, and it was not that issue that was going to get you the votes that you needed, but I didn't shy away from it either. I remember many times when media would talk to me and they would say something like, well, you're really anti-Jewish, though. You say that the Jews control the media. And how did I react to it? I didn't refute that. I said, well, of course. I mean, we all know that the Jews really dominate the media in the country, and they really did, right? And I laughed, and sometimes they would laugh. You know, it's like it was a whole different ball of wax. And I did talk about Jewish money in elections, which were already making a big impact, Goldman Sachs. It wasn't the first issue I talked about. I talked about the same issues that Donald Trump ran on. I talked about our borders, which were ultimately going to make us a minority in our own country, which even seemed unlikely then. But I saw the writing on the wall, and I pointed that out. I talked about the crime from the illegal aliens. I talked about the fact that we were being literally ethnically cleansed. I talked about this was the real plan of those in the government and those who were leading this country to make us a minority in this country and how the media wanted that to happen. And I talked about a number of other issues as well. I said eventually they'll come for our guns, especially when we finally lose the demography situation, they'll end up coming from our guns. They'll eventually restrict freedom of speech. They're not really working for equal rights. They are not working for any of these things. What they're really working for is to take away our rights. And they wanted to control this country, the people that were leading this country. And they wanted to derail white people, mm-hmm. and to just take over the country in a way that would harm a great majority of the American people. And that's exactly, of course, what happened. A lot of people were very warm to that issue, even though, again, they were getting horror stories every day in the media and they had economic blackmail and all these things. You know, we did a show the other day. We actually tried to make one, and we technically lost it. Well, this show is going on great, and I would love to tell you a little story, kind of like what Tucker does on Fox Nation, if you think it's interesting. I would love to tell you a short version of my trip to Britain and what happened there.
We got about 15 minutes left, and I do have a line of question I'm trying to pursue, so make it.
Please, whatever you want. You take it wherever you want. You're the Tucker Carlson of this show.
Okay, well, remember that. Bookmark that story, because we might get back to it in the show. So Tucker, okay, since I started working with you 10 years ago, like in those first few years, you were still being called up from time to time. I know you had the interview with Alan Combs, obviously before he died. You had the interview with Smirkanish on CNN. You had an interview you were invited on Dr. Drew's show that he wound up getting shouted down by his own audience because he had you on. But you were still being invited on. Now the thing about
the most famous interviewer at that time, of course, is Barbara Walters, and she had me on live. Well, in fact, after that show on ABC, excuse me, it was Today's Show. After that program, she got I got 5,000 letters. It was amazing. Uh-huh.
So these three individuals I mentioned who interviewed you, say, 7-8 years ago, all three of them actually, by the way, are Jewish. Although they were all trying to be more or less fair to you, to their credit. But the thing about Tucker is he is saying he's making a lot of the points that you make.
Yeah.
He makes it, whereas these other interviewers weren't, they would still have you on. Tucker won't have you on. He's trying to make the same points you do. He's asking why we don't have any leaders, and yet he won't have you on. And it's not as if you're just some insignificant person who happens to be saying these things. Yeah, I mean, right. in a big, big way, you are the reason that other people are afraid to talk about it because they've seen what happened to you. And it's not just Tucker. I mean, even even people who are not mainstream, but in the alternative media are not having you on.
Well, that, I know it's really interesting. And it's because the Jews have basically said, the Jews who control and dominate our media, that we, you know, that, that, oh, we're going to get you if you have David Duke on or something like that. It's really interesting in the sense of this, that, you know, I was on Meet the Press three times. And Meet the Press is a very liberal left-wing interview program. And they were very hostile to me. I'm very proud of my record on that show. And the last time I was on that show was just a great victory for us. But the funny thing is that it's funny. I can be on Meet the Press three times, but I can't go on some podunk talk show because really what they're afraid of is that I talk about things that they're afraid to be silenced for. It's kind of like a self-censorship, right? And that's kind of amazing to me because the left doesn't do that. I mean, the left didn't abandon Bernie Sanders because it was going to see Castro and have support for communism. And I mean, it's really kind of amazing. And yet that's what a lot of people do, but I understand why. And I understand why Tucker probably won't dare to interview me. He should have me on this Fox Nation and just have a discussion with me and ask him, well, you know, you're a person in the media. A lot of things are said against you. You know, what are your opinions on this and that? And let me explain my opinions, right? And give my reasons for my opinions and do it in a decent and healthy and wonderful way. And I would even be willing to self-censor a little bit because I don't want to get him fired. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he can make certain boundaries if he wants to in the program. But if I was able to get on the show and address those points that he would like to address or my history or any aspect of that or these things that we talked about years and years ago, at least that would bring the attention and that would bring attention to me and my website, the program that you and I do on Rents, the program that we do on your networks. And it would afford a great opportunity for people, more people to hear me and these vital bits of information. He didn't even have to talk to me about some of the things that I'm going to want to talk about or I'll have to talk about with, you know, very tenderly and carefully. But I think that Jewish power is a legitimate issue, obviously. And it's the one issue that we can't talk about in America. And I think that should tell any thinking person that if that's the only issue that, you know, we can't talk about, or they really do the biggest, you know, repression of, the biggest effort to make sure you're silenced and the way you can't get a credit card, you know, and you can't go on a talk show and nobody could dare to even have you on, otherwise they might lose their talk show. I think that that kind of shows the importance of what I say and the power of what I say and the truth of what I say. Mm-hmm. Why would Jews be so anxious and so make so much effort to stop someone from talking about Jewish power unless they know that it's one of the it's their kryptonite? Because it's not the agenda of Jews. People can oppose some of the agendas like Trump did, but mm-hmm. that the agenda of Jews is really nothing compared to the power of Jews.
Yeah, because you can oppose the agenda of Jews, but as soon as you say it's a Jewish agenda, then you're wiped out. You are wiped out.
But you can't understand the power of Jews in getting that agenda done unless you talk about the racial element behind it and the organized Jewish element behind it. LGBTism mm-hmm. could never have been successful without Jewish power. They were the ones that undermined our immigration policies for years. They were the chief promoters of the the Restrictions Immigration Act that was passed in America in 1924, I believe. And yes. And it's really amazing to talk about this. And amazingly enough, a lot of Americans talked about it then. In fact, it was the rise of Jewish power that really kept racial truth from reaching the American people. The rise of Franz Boas, the rise of the Jewish media, and they brainwashed us, and the rise of their power in universities like Harvard and many other schools. And they basically, through their control and their power in mass media like television and movies, they basically put a entirely different and a total lying aspect or of racial reality than the racial reality of the country. They even denied for how many years, how many decades, that we would become a minority in this country. And now they're celebrating it and having parties over it, right?
So there's one more example I want to bring up. And I was listening today to a podcast. I guess it's from the Duran, which is Alexander Mercurius.
Mercurius,
thank you. And Chris Rustafaro, and they had on whoever the guy is that does the new Atlas website, and they had on Gonzalo Lira. And they were, you know, have a long discussion about Ukraine and Germany. And at one point, the topic was, Germany is being destroyed. Germany is being deindustrialized. The United States has been pushing, the American foreign policy establishment is pushing Germany to deindustrialization. And then somebody brought up this report, supposedly from the RAND Corporation, calling for deindustrialization of Germany. Mercurius said that he wasn't sure if that was a legitimate report, but everybody agreed that the American foreign policy establishment does seem to have that position, whether it was a legitimate, a legitimate policy paper or not. Mercurius was he seemed a little bit baffled. Why would the United States be seeking to weaken its allies? And of course, you know, they don't talk about Jewish power, and so they can't answer it. Now, I have the feeling that Gonzalo Lira, maybe he might censor himself a bit, because he was talking about a very small ruling class that's cosmopolitan. He was using some things that might be like dog whistle words. But I think very few people in the audience understood, if that's what he was doing, that very few people really understood this. So they're having this very baffling conversation, all these mysteries. Why is this happening? Well, it's clear that it's happening because this is a Jewish agenda. The war is a Jewish agenda. The deindustrialization of Germany, which is, you know, one of the boogeymen of in the Jewish pantheon of boogeymen. So without talking about Jewish power, you can't answer these questions. And yet the people who talk about Jewish power, and you are the main, you are the most well-known person who talks about Jewish power. If you talk about Jewish power, you're expelled. So your thoughts on that. And then if you have time to tell that story, then it would be a good time.
I don't know if
we're
going to have time to tell that story, but
you can tell it anyway, and I'll save it for another show.
Yeah, well, maybe we could, but I know it's easier to make that show when it's clean. But in any way, so yeah, here's the real issue here. Okay, if you don't pay attention to Jewish supremacy, and I mean true Jewish supremacy, the same Jewish controlled media in which they have a supremacy, like the New York Times, like in all three networks, like in the cable companies, like in the biggest media companies on earth, the five biggest media corporations on earth, AT&T, Comcast, Google, Facebook. When you take a look at the fact that they are literally, they provide most of the funding, and this is according to the Washington Post even years ago, it's been going on for years, most of the funding for the high offices of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, especially the Democrats, but you know, who are Jews, who are 1.7% of the population. When you look at the fact that the elections are rigged by the media, when you look at the fact that we've been told for years that we've got Russian disinformation, and of course, Mercurius and these others talk about how terrible it is that we're being disinformed and we're lied to about Ukraine every day, we're lied to about the government of Ukraine, we're lied to about the fact that this war is not an unprovoked war. They say it's that the Russians had an unprovoked war. No, it was a very provoked war. It was a war that was really started by America. It was a government that was overthrown by America. We were the ones that overthrew democracy in that country. And the Ukraine, the nation of Ukraine, is led by Jews who totally control the country, and Jewish oligarchs who totally control the country. And the reason why they want this Ukraine war, they don't care how many Ukrainians die. And they want this war because they're more than happy to see hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians wounded, maimed, hurt, families destroyed, homes destroyed, schools destroyed. I mean, they're more than happy to do this as long as they can try to hurt their enemy, which is Russia, and mm-hmm. which is very interesting, and that's an old enemy of theirs. So the media has been talking about Russia for a long time in America. They told us that the first election, and Tucker talks about this all the time, Russian disinformation and Russian interference. And that was a big lie. There never was Russian interference in this election. It was American influence under the Jewish powers in our State Department and the Jewish powers in our media all over the whole world. Because media, Jewish media world goes worldwide.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's...
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
There never was Russian interference in this election. It was American influence under the Jewish powers in our State Department and the Jewish powers in our media all over the whole world, because media, Jewish media world goes worldwide. That's the reality. And when they told us there was Russian influence or Russian interference in American elections, the truth is, when they lied about that, they were doing the interference in American elections by telling this lie. And when they said that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation and Russian campaign interference, you know, and it really was not campaign interference. It was real. And the FBI had to know it was real. And the government had to know it was real. And the media had to know it was real. They suppressed that and all the people that would share that data. So, my God, They were the ones, by doing that, who were interfering in the campaign. They were the ones that were interfering and trying to overthrow the Democratic elected president of the United States with the impeachments. Jamie Raskin and, my God, Nadler and Adam Schiff and all the rest of them. Yeah. I mean, it was Jewish interference. So how in the hell do you ever defeat an enemy in politics or in a political war or a propaganda war, a data war, and a debate? How can you ever defeat an enemy if you can't even name the enemy? And you can't even point out the tremendous power that they hold and the damage that they're doing to this country, which is inestimable.
Yeah. And then getting back to Tucker, and when you also participate in the ostracization of those who do.
Exactly. And again, I'm not calling the victim thing here at all. They do what they do. But my God, I hope people will use this and not and resist this kinds of manipulation and control. The biggest thing I'm afraid of today is not just the censorship, it's the self-censorship. Because so many millions and millions of people are trying to keep on YouTube. They're trying to stay on Twitter. They're trying to stay on Facebook. They're trying to further their career. And so they self-censor themselves. That is the real sadness. So if we all start standing up as a group and we start standing up courageously for the truth, we can overthrow these tyrants who are leading us to war, to financial ruin, to a destruction of our freedoms, to destruction of every kind of freedom. In fact, not just the freedom to be able to have a roof over our head and pay our bills, but also the freedom to speak and the freedom to have a government that is not a tyrant society or a terrible society that leads us into wars that sacrifice millions of people. We've had a century of Jewish wars, and the evidence for these things is incredible. And since the 9/11 attack, which was, I think, supported by the Zionists, I believe that they were supporting this attack, and they helped create the problems or the leading up incidents that led to this attack, and they hid the knowledge of this attack. And all these wars have killed millions upon millions of people, cost us trillions of dollars, and have led also the suppression of our rights, as well as they have been the people presiding over and dictating to us the COVID lockdowns and the COVID vaccines and the mandates and the mask wearing for our kids. This is a Jewish establishment. It's a Jewish media. It's a Jewish banking system. And with money and media, you can, you know, you and political power, you can do everything you want, and you are left with nothing but raw, naked, evil tyranny that's going to hurt people on a massive scale. And that's exactly what's happening to the people of this country and the people of the world.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Duke.
Thank you, Dr. Slattery. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because